Blog Talk Radio.
LiveDeliverance.com here on BlogTalkRadio.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. If you're listening to us via the simulcast during the hours of 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock p.m. here on Monday evenings, we're so glad to have you. But if you're listening to us on any other social media platforms or at any other times during the week, please contact us here at LiveDeliverance.com and give us the times, the dates, the locations of platforms that you are listening to. Although we would love to proliferate the airways, we must do it legally, ethically, and in righteousness. So if you hear our content through any other means, it is a result of piracy and copyright infringement. And all those who participate in any internet piracy can be prosecuted by federal agents. Having said all that, now we can get down to the business of the kingdom. So please go ahead and get a pen and some paper. And if you have any comments or questions about the ministry tonight, when we get to the end of the broadcast, we'll give you an opportunity to ask those questions or make those comments. Now, if you would join me in a word of prayer as we sanctify our time together. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time and this place because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me now. I decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus revealed to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of your grace. As we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, we want to get started with another series. So this will be part one of the supply of grace. And since grace is a vast topic, and sometimes has even been misunderstood So since it was misunderstood, then it's going to be misappropriated. And I want to give you an understanding that will help you find victory in everything. As the sons of God, we must understand and function in the supply of grace. Grace is not just to cover our mistakes, but it is rather the demark of my growth and submission to the will of God. I'll say that again. Grace is not here just to cover my mistakes, but it is rather the demark of my growth and submission to the will of God. When you heard to do something from God, please know that the grace that was necessary to get it done was available right then. If you put it off, then you don't have the power at a later time to activate what he told you to do when he told you to do it. Proverbs chapter 3 tells us, says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. In other words, when the visitation of God is happening, don't you go someplace else. Okay? Because a lot of people have been taught and trained in we have to deserve it. Okay? This is not what God says in his word. The love of God abounds towards you. Okay? That means he's running towards you. From the very birth of Jesus, the announcement said, the angels cried and said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. He established the peace that was necessary by opening his mouth and saying, I'll go for them. Transactions in heaven cause earth to respond. Okay? I need for you to get that. Transactions in heaven causes a response on the earth. That's why prayer is so necessary, because that is a spiritual transaction in heaven. If you ask anything in my name, the Father will do it. See? Because there's a transaction in heaven already been done, sealed by the blood of the Lamb. Okay? See, that's what we've got to begin to understand and function in, that supply of grace. Not just to cover my mistakes. I appreciate that your approach started there, but we shouldn't let it stay there. Okay? I'm not saying that they were wrong. I'm doing what Paul said, and behold, I show you a more excellent way. Okay? Paul never did say their way was wrong. He said, here's an easier way to get to victory. It's more excellent than that. If you're going to function on what you deserve, I'm going to give you a more excellent way. See? It would be better for you to approach God as the scripture told you to approach God boldly. See? So we need to grow up. Grace is the demark of my growth. It's the demark of my submission. The place where I get out of the way and let him have his way. I found that God was more interested in getting things done by his promise in your life than you were. I'll give you the understanding of that, because when you came into the understanding of any of the promises of God, they were already established. So God was more interested in it than you were. He made sure it would be there. The other day I was thinking of the scripture, and I looked at it from a different way. The Bible tells us in Psalms 150 to let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And so I was just thinking about that, meditating on that. And then I heard that God gave you the breath. The breath supply that he gave you was so that praise would be voiced by you. we can abuse that breath by cussing everybody out, getting mad and saying the wrong things, but he gave you that breath so that praise would be released. Let everything that hath breath praise. See, when we understand why things are, then we can utilize and gain benefit from that. When we don't understand a thing, abuse is inevitable. If you don't know why you have been given the thing, whatever it is, abuse is inevitable. Okay? So it would be wise of us, incumbent upon us, to find out the why. I have a breath, and the breath was made, given to me, so that I could praise. Oh, well, okay, let's hear it again. That breath was not given to me so that I can beg. Come on, y'all. He said the breath was given so that praise would be released. Let everything that hath breath praise. Okay? And here we are utilizing our breath the wrong way. Utilizing our breath to complain, murmur, accuse. Using our breath to give credence to the fear that's fear that's coming upon the earth. You know, we're not supposed to participate in the fear that comes upon the earth. We're only supposed to see that with our eyes. I mean, you see, these are the scriptures that he gave us. This is the word that would allow us to win. See, every time, all the time. Because we recognize what he said, and we use what he said the way he said it. See? Okay, let's look at Psalms 91. This is just a introduction, if you would. See, I need to find out what he said and how to utilize it, not to abuse it. Let everything that hath breath praise. He that dwelleth in the secret place, Psalm 91, of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under thy wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth in the day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy right side, at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right side, right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Verse 8, only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. He said he didn't tell us to go through that, did he? He didn't tell us to have experiential knowledge, did he? We should have knowledge from observation, not knowledge from experience. As I trust in the Lord, then the word is a lamp to my feet. See, it's a light to my path. See, I don't have to experience it through hurt. I can live in the place of revelation. I don't have to live in the place of pain. The grace is not here to cover my mistakes. I'm glad that we can apply it as we get to that place, but that's not what it's here for. It's here so that I would be empowered to execute all of the heart of God in my life. Because his word displays his heart. How he thinks, what he thinks. His heart is displayed by his word. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call unto me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That passage of scripture is full of the grace of God to be revealed in your life with assuredly. He didn't say maybe. It said, surely he shall deliver me. See? When you see the word shall in the Bible, please understand that it is an absolute imperative. It didn't say he would think about, he would barter. He said, this shall. Absolute imperative. See? Let's go to Psalms 63. His words display his heart. As I submit myself to the will of God, to the word of God, then the word of promise becomes alive on the inside of me. Okay? As I submit myself to the word of God, I give place to the word of God. I hide it in my heart. Okay, let's do it this way. When I hide the word in my heart, it's not hid from me, it's hid for me. You can say it this way. When you put your money in the bank, with all things being accurate and perfect, your money is now hid from thieves. It is protected from evildoers. See? In a perfect world. Now they're trying to get in there, steal your money out of the place of safety. I get that. That's not just so that they can have the money, but it's also causing us to question the things that we put in a safe place. Because a bank, the purpose of the bank was that we would have safety for our money and easy access. Transactions can be executed without me actually being there. Credit cards, money in a safe place for you. You abuse it, and they'll stop doing what it's supposed to do. You start writing bad checks, and it'll stop doing what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to be a safe place for keeping so that you can have access at any time. Okay? That's the way it's supposed to be. Okay? And if we would understand that and hide the word in our heart, then that word that we hide in our heart is there for us to have easy access at any time. Okay, that's why you see Jesus as he was walking here on the earth, he was doing things that people had not done. He was not doing things that were impossible to be done. He was doing things that people had not done. They had the authority because that's all he did. He simply walked in the authority that was given him from the Father. You've been given the same exact authority. All right. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And behold, I give unto you power. Okay? Jesus said that. I give you this power. See? To walk upon serpents, tread upon serpents, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. See? He gave it to us while he was here. When he was leaving, he reassured us again. And behold, I said, I give unto you, all power has been given unto me, and I give it to you. In my name, cast out. See? There was a transfer of power right there. Go ye, therefore. Take this power, cause this power to work in any condition, under any circumstances, on any location. Go ye, therefore. I gave you the power. This is the second time that it's been said. That's a divine witness. In the mouth of two or three, let every word be established. So here we are hearing the same thing twice from the mouth of Jesus. So since he gave us this power, we need to grow into the understanding so that we can execute the things necessary day by day. See? He's wanting us to walk in the victory that he's already provided. See? It was not stuff that's impossible to man. It just hadn't been done because we were detached from the flow of God. See? That's why he told us, come unto him. Come unto me, all you heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn. See? I want you to grow in this, the knowledge of the truth. I want you to grow in it. See? This is the supply. Jesus is the supply of grace. All right? We need to look at that. Again, he's the supply of grace. Okay? This, if you would, this is the place where we expect grace to be manufactured. Whatever my need is, he has a grace that he would manufacture, tailor-made for my situation, for my circumstances. See? Tailor-made for that. So we just got to get to the place where we understand that, believe that, operate in that, desire that. Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry land, in a thirsty land where no water is. I mean, David just goes at it right quick. He gets it there. He says, you my God. So since you my God, I'm not going to let these problems, frustrations and anxieties overwhelm me. I'm going to seek you early. I'm going to seek you first off. As I seek you first, you said things would then be added. It's easy to overcome when I have an abundance of supply, isn't it? You don't mind writing the check when the money's in the bank. So what Jesus just is instructing us here, he's trying to get us to see, seek him first, and then the addition of whatever it is you need. Come on, y'all. Things is what he said. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Today we was on prayer, and I heard a different ending to something that we all know. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And it said, and then seek my face. He said, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal the land. But notice what he said. He said, if you will humble yourselves and pray and then seek him. He did not say seek answers. He said seek him. Reconnect with him. He will give you the answers, the victory, because that's what he always does. He always causes us to triumph. He gives us the victory. But I'm seeking him. I'm not seeking the victory. I'm not seeking the alteration of the things. Here's a question about that. If I'm only seeking the alteration or the change of the things, what happens when I get to where the change is activated? Do I know what to do now? I just know I'm happy because the trouble is over. Yeah, but if I would seek him, then I would be led by his spirit, and I can deal with whatever's next. But I'm just trying to move items around, and I'm saying, okay, good. Now I know God loves me because he helped me move this thing around. But as it is moved, when it is moved, what's my next response? But if I seek him, he will direct my paths. Acknowledge him. See? Just something to kind of think about. So early, first, I'll seek you. And this process is going to affect every part of my being. My soul is going to thirst for you. Amen. My flesh is longing for you. You are my God, so that means even my spirit, because they that worship God must, imperative, worship him in spirit and in truth. See? So every part of you, your spirit, your soul, your flesh. When it gets to the place where the land is dry, and notice this, what he said, there's no water. He didn't say, and I can't find water. That would be something different. He said, I'm in this dry and thirsty land, and there is no water. To me, that tells me that I must be looking for a miracle from Jump Street. But I can't be looking for a miracle out of the land, because there is no answer there. My flesh has found out there is no answer in my flesh. My soul has found out there is no answer in my soul. This is a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I mean, it's different if there was a creek there, a little creek, a little spring. He said, this land has come to the place of understanding. There's dry and thirsty and no water is there. So as you are standing in the place needing the miracle, please make sure that you do the right thing, looking for him. Seek him. Seek his face, not his hands. Amen. I appreciate God's loving kindness and extended grace to me. I appreciate that. But I see, because you'll hear people say things, you know, God is good all the time. And they are regularly catching hell. See? Why? Because they have no expectation of understanding what his goodness means to them. They just would like to hear the words, God is good. Ain't he good? See? Instead of experiencing that goodness at a higher level than they've ever experienced it before. See? This is what's available to the people of God, to those that abide under the shadow of the Almighty, those that have a proper conversation. I will say of the Lord, see, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And what am I thirsty for? I want to see your power and your glory as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. I want you to move. All right, we like this. We like this. We like the songs in church. And so we say that's a good thing. Wasn't church good? David said, I want to see your power where I'm standing right now as I've seen it in the sanctuary. In the time of worship, in the time of praise, in the time of fellowship, I want to see your power and your glory where I am, in this place of no water, in this hopeless situation. Because you know that if you're in a place where there is no water, hopelessness is right next door. Because the body was not meant to function without water. As it is, so the spirit was not meant to function without the flow of that same water. Amen. See? Out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. So your spirit man was created to have that same flow of the rivers of living water. So then if I'm approaching God in fear, that doesn't sound like to me that I'm going to find that flow of living water. See? Just some things to see, Lord. To see that power and that glory as I've seen in the thee in the sanctuary. I know you this way, God. I saw you this way. I was introduced to you this way, God. I'm not trying to find one that's just going to make me feel better about the situation. I want to find the one that's going to obliterate all of my enemies. Amen. See? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Talk about the redemption. See? He wants me to participate at an intimate level with him. We're not invited to a cursory knowledge. He wants us to get in there deep with him. Deep calls to deep. Verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Your loving kindness is better than life. Having said that, having read that, the question becomes, do we believe that? These were words of testimony from David. So is that our testimony also? That my flesh, my soul longs for him, seeks for him. And just let these words become your testimony. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. I know the reason for my breath. I'm not walking around wasting my breath, complaining to 15 people to try to get them to agree with me. Amen. And after you get them to agree, what do we have? Nothing. We agree to be disappointed and frustrated. Fearful. See, because if any two would agree as touching, that's what my father is. Anything that they should ask. Did he say anything except doing a miracle? See, you need water in a land where there is no water. But I'm still going to have my heart in the position that water be here in just a minute. Get your cup ready. Because I'm going to see his power. I'm going to see his glory. The same way that I saw his power and glory in the sanctuary, I saw healings and deliverance take place because of the presence of the Lord. You said we would enjoy times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. I want to see that same manifestation in whatever situation it is, dry and thirsty land. See? Because you knew I need that. Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Okay, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Yes, there is a lifting up of the hands for worship. But there also is a lifting up of the hands to get things done. Wow, wow, wow. See, he wants to see power and glory. Power is a word that's used for demonstration. It's not necessarily exclusive to exaltation. Yes, it can be used there, but it is primarily a word used for demonstration. Amen. So then David was saying, I want to see you demonstrate some stuff. We come into the house of the Lord and we see deliverance and victory and breakthrough. Well, I want to see that here. I want to experience that so greatly that my soul can find it. My flesh can contact with that. He says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. I mean, when I have this as my thought process, then my whole position of thought is different, isn't it? I'm no longer just begging God, hoping that I can get him to do something. See, I know he is my God. He's the one that causes water to come out where there is no water. I mean, these are things that were accounts that David heard. He wasn't there when Moses smoked the rock and water gushed out of the rock. But David heard about this. These are the things that they would talk about. And now he's saying, I'm looking for the same kind of a miracle, God. That I will break out and overflow in supply because that's your loving kindness. It's better than life. Life might have had people that was mad at me and they stopped up the well. But it doesn't make a difference to you. If you are providing my water, you can do that in the dry and thirsty land where no water is. Because you can make water again. You created it. There was nothing that was made that was not made by him. So then you can make water in thin air. Amen. There's rain that comes down from the sky, don't it? That would be water that was formed in thin air. Is that correct? But those clouds are active. I got no problem with that. I know that he made the stirring of the clouds, but it was still in the air. The source, see, he's the source of grace. Causing that grace to be released in this place or that place is no big deal to Jesus. See, but when I have expectation connected to a promise that's already been established, see, I'm not trying to get God to do the impossible. He's past that. As floods come together, that's going to change the landscape. You put two rivers and they connect to one another. That's going to be a place where all of the waves and the force is going to stir things up, the place of convergence. Things will be stirred up. Your blessing that was on the bottom, underneath, hid, now it's going to pop up. Why? Because rivers are connected. Power is understood. Glory is to be reached for. Verse 6, I will remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. See, I don't know, y'all. Let's just read this. He said, I will meditate. I will remember on my bed and meditate in the night watches. He's not just laying down to go to sleep, is he? He says he's going to meditate on God. I will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. See? So then here I am thinking about God. I'm not thinking, I'm not laying on my bed meditating on what I don't have. Because if I'm meditating on what I don't have, I am not meditating on God. Because he's the one that just told me he's going to cause me to receive my supply where there is no water. So I'm looking for a miracle. And I'm going to keep thinking about my miracle-making God all night. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. See? Because you have been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings, I'll rejoice. The shadow of the rich, wow, thank you, sir. The shadow of his wings removes all questions, because when I abide under the shadow of his wings, I say surely. I say he is my refuge. He is my fortress. There's never been any water here. I don't care. There's going to be water, because the one that is my supply is going to bring water. He's going to show up. Another miracle is going to be made manifest. But I have to agree with him, grow in the grace. I don't need to grow in frustration and pain. My soul follows hard after thee. My soul is going to get information and inspiration. I tell you, if you got inspiration without inspiration, you're going to have desperation, frustration, and perspiration. But if you have information that's inspired, you're going to end up with destination. Because information that's breathed on, that's what inspired means, breathed on. Life has been given to it. So information that has been breathed upon is going to cause me to end up in my destination. Because the life in that breath, see, it does not matter to God. Since he made the molecules the first time, he can rearrange molecules. They obey him. So he'll just say, hydrogen, connect with some oxygen, H2O. And because that's what was spoken in the atmosphere, here comes water. I mean, you got to remember, this is God that caused it to rain, sent it under glass. He caused the quails to they collected over the children of Israel and then fell down in the wilderness in the camp of the children of Israel. This is the God that caused the coriander seed to form overnight. They had never seen manna before. Had never understood it. But God created that their supply in a place where there was no supply. And you got to stop and think, yo. There were at least 3 million, if not 6 million Jews in the wilderness. And God fed them with the bread of heaven. There was none. They said, this is angels' food. He has not forgotten how to cause something that was not there to be seen, because the atmosphere is ripe with faith. It's ripe with love, because faith works by love. See? So whatever you're facing, as you allow your heart to seek him more and more, don't seek answers, seek him. He'll provide the answer, not a problem. But see, if we keep looking for whatever this is, we're not seeking him. We're actually trying to pimp him. Come on now. Yeah. Okay? But if I would seek him, then he'll be able to cause me to see him do what needs to be done, even if it doesn't make sense. Under the shadows of thy wings I will rejoice. My soul follows hard. This ain't no just kind of think about it one way, one day. No, this is hard. I do this on purpose. Just like Jesus set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. There is no plan B. I don't need plan B. Plan A has been spoken and it's guaranteed to work. Why would I need a plan B? My soul falls hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. The right hand of the Lord is the hand of acceptance. The left hand is the hand of judgment. And he said, your right hand has picked me up. Straighten me up. Supports me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be portions for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Why? Because he is my God. He is my king. This is who I meditate on, because his loving kindness is better than life. It has been stated that grace is God. Let's give you this definition. Grace is better understood as God's willingness and ability to work on my behalf even when I don't deserve it. He's willing to turn things around for me, even if I don't deserve it. Deserve has nothing to do with this. See, mercy is defined and says, when I don't get the punishment I deserve, I did the crime, but I didn't get the time. That's mercy. Grace is when I get what I don't deserve. I can't earn it. I can't even demand it. It is God's unmerited favor or his willingness to work in my behalf even though I don't deserve it. Grace is the New Testament tenet that displays and allows us to establish the kingdom of God here on the earth. Again, there has to be a transfer. Jesus made this transfer and wants us to think about this transfer over and over. John chapter 1. Starting in verse 12. He says, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Wow. He says, as you receive him, there is a transfer of power that would make you inevitably a son of God. Wow. I mean, we need to get that. That if I receive him, at the receiving of Jesus, yes, the time of salvation, he then does demonstration because you asked him into your heart. He gave you the power to become the sons of God. Okay, let's slow that down. He gave you the power to become the sons, with an S, of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He started everything over, and he gave you the power to become the sons of God. I hope you heard that. I'm not going to be one that's just having mental assent. He says those that were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. You become just as much a son of authority that Jesus was. Just as much. He gave you the power to become the sons of God. Complete package of power. We've got to get our heart to the place where expectation motivates and moves us. He's given us the power to become the sons of God. It says, verse 14, and this word, this promise, this place of expectancy should dwell, live among you. It's supposed to be made tangible, made flesh. Flesh is a covering for the internal organs and skeleton or structure of the man. And this word is supposed to be made the covering and support structure for your life. Let it dwell among you. Let it live there until glory is released. Until grace is released. Until truth is released. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want you to know that Jesus came as the supply, that's what I've said, as the supply of grace. As the supply of truth. Grace is given to us for us to release on purpose, not by mistake. Grace should help you accomplish, because he gave you the power to become the sons. The full supply of grace, the full supply of truth, he released it for those, into those that believe on his name. He used the vehicle of truth to allow us to release the grace that was deposited. He was full of it so that he can give it to us, so that he can transfer it into our lives. He was full of it, full of grace and truth. The tandem of power. I know it's the tandem of power because he said he gave you the power to become sons, and he's going to use grace and truth. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spoke, that he cometh after me and is preferred before me, and he was before me. Add verse 16, underline, circle, stars, highlight. And of his fullness, we all received grace for grace. There should be an exchange. When you receive his grace, there should be an exchange now of you releasing that grace to others. Amen. If you're just stuck on trying to get full, that's not the way it's supposed to work. He didn't make you to be stuck. Full of grace and truth. And of this fullness, we've all received. John 8 says, if you continue in my word, then are you disciplined by that word. You are my disciples indeed. You are my disciples in what you do. And you shall know the truth, and then the truth shall make you free. Don't just use the scripture that people have quoted and said the truth will set you free. No, he said it would make you free. Even if you don't want to be free, if you continue to function with truth, continue to react with truth, truth will then make you free. It will give understanding, because the interest of his word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. See? So then when you continue to meditate again, to think about the word, not the problem. See? And as you think about the word, he will give an answer to the problem. See? I'm not looking for his hands. I'm looking for his heart. That's the connection that God is looking for, heart to heart. Amen. See, Paul wrote about these things over and over, and he was learning and became very versed at what grace was supposed to be used for, not used for my mistakes. I'll give you a one time to use the grace for your mistake. I got no problem with that. Repentance, it was that would have said that the goodness of the Lord leads you to repentance. It only takes you to the place where repentance now can get you further. So since you've already repented of the sins, since you've already repented of your twisted ways, why do we then still live as if the twisted ways had any impact on our life from that point forward? If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. A cleansed man does not have to participate in the dirt that he left in the tub. Amen. Come on. Once you have received the bath, then you go from that place clean. Jesus said, now are you clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. I've given you a bath. See? So Paul began to show us, invite us into this revelation. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You ain't supposed to be doing this. You can't do that. Okay, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God that changed me, that strengthened me, that established me, I am what I am. He didn't say I am what I used to be. Come on, y'all, let's read the scripture. By the grace of God, I am what I am. This is the me that you should be seeing. This is the me that has looked into the grace, became conformed by the grace, got very intimate with the grace, and the grace, the truth that I was there, it made me free. And this grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. So that tells me that we have the option of using the grace of God from a vain position, an empty position. See, if I'm going to function in vanity or function in lies, the Bible tells me in the book of Jonah, they that observe lying vanities, they are the ones that hurt themselves. They forsake their own mercy. Why? Because they're looking at lying vanity. The devil told me I couldn't do this. The devil told me I couldn't have this. That is a lying vanity. They that look at, observe lying vanities, they forsake their mercy. See? By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I used, worked, and understood the grace more abundantly. That's what Paul said. But I labored. What did you work with, Paul? I worked with the grace. I didn't work against the grace. He tells us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that we should not frustrate the grace of God. For it's Christ in me. He's the one doing the work. And because he's doing the work, it wasn't I, but it's God, Christ in me. Flip over there. We're going to come right back to 1 Corinthians 15. But just go there. Galatians chapter 2. I just want you to see these things. See? Because when you see them, then you begin to function from a different perspective. See, and as you function from power, you can use power to gain the victory that power provided. Okay? When you use the power, then you'll be able to gain the victory that the power brought to you. Let's look at this. Verse 20 in second chapter of Galatians. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He didn't say, but me and Christ have this appointment and I visit every once in a while. He said, no, he has a home here. Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. This is what Paul is writing about because he worked, he labored, it just said, in 1 Corinthians 15. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace which he bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored with this grace. I worked with this grace. I changed my image by this grace. I stopped defining myself by my past. I began to hear the calling and then make my life based on the calling. See? I'm not basing anything on my history because he said very clearly, we're not by the will of man, by blood. See, I'm not trying to recreate myself in that. That thing was dead, didn't work first time. Go back and get that so that you can see it. Verse 12 in the book of John. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which were not born of blood. They were not born of the will of the flesh. They were not born of the will of man. They were born of God. So then the promise that God spoke, put in the atmosphere for me to be able to start breathe. Come on, y'all. I breathed that in, and then that caused the praise to be developed in my heart. I didn't breathe in punishment. I breathed that in, and that word was made flesh. That word dwelt within me. See? The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't frustrate the grace of God. See? He labored with this. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. I started living my life by allowing him to give me revelation that would cause me to win. That was the God in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I no longer live by my past mistakes. No, it's the life that I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Notice what he said here. Glory to God. He said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He didn't say, I live by the faith of the Son of God who I love. Jesus didn't even leave this thing up to you. This is infallible. It cannot be messed up. Because his love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on you. See? I live my life, the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. So therefore, I don't frustrate this grace. I labor, work with this grace. I shape my consciousness by this grace. I shape my spirit by this grace. I shape my thinking by this grace. He loved me and he gave himself for me. I'm not going to frustrate that grace. I work with it. See, Paul is bringing us to this because he has the supply. He is the supply of grace for my life. See? He's the one that said, come, and I just simply came. See? Because I come, I get the reward. That's what he said. He said, if you come unto me, take my yoke upon you, then you will find something. See? He didn't say, come and remind me of your mistakes. He say, when you come, change the conversation. Don't make the conversation about you. Make the conversation about me. Learn of me. What are you saying to me right now, Jesus? You know, it would be completely unfruitful for us to go to God and spend all the time talking about us who don't have no answers, and the one with the answers is we already in his presence. First of all, he knew your thoughts. He knew your thoughts afar off. So then your actions and the things that you did, that's after the fact. He knew your thoughts afar off. So then, really, what am I bringing him if I'm going to continually always talk about how ugly I am, how worthless I am? Since he knew your thoughts from a distance and he still allows you to come in there, then that means that your thinking was not necessary for the results that you're looking for. They also shouldn't stop you from coming, should they? But we let them stop. But I don't deserve to. And if you saw the man that had the issue, and he told Jesus, "I don't deserve. You can't come to my house. I'm not worthy." He said, "But I tell you what. Send a word." And so Jesus said, boy, I have not seen such greater faith, not in Israel. He said, this man understands that the grace of God extends past his deservedness. I don't deserve for you to come to my house, but here, send a word. Because, see, I'm a man under authority, and I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to this one, comes, and he comes. So if you would just send a word, I know I got the answer. You ain't got to come to the house. See? So then if you would have this same position of heart that says, okay, God, I know I messed that up, but that's not going to stop you from doing what you want to do in my life. Just send me a word. Wow. A word, y'all, a word. He didn't even ask for a paragraph. He didn't say, give me a letter. He said, just send a word. In fact, as you are sending a word, that which you just sent gets there before I can get back. Because when he got to his house, he saw his daughter just doing everything that a daughter's supposed to do. In her right mind, healed. Why? Because the word that he sent got there before I could. The word that was sent got there before the confirmation was viewed. Come on, y'all. The word that was sent got there before the confirmation had been viewed. Before I knew it worked, the word worked and was already through before I got there. Come on, I'm hoping y'all see this. See, here I am, glory to God. Here I am over here waiting for God to do something when I could have just said, Lord, send the word. And then the word that was sent brought the result before I can even get back to the place to check it out. Thank you, my God. See? I mean, this is life. We're supposed to grow in this grace. Paul came to the place of understanding that a word that was sent is the word that is sufficient. Paul gave us his account, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Said, it's not expedient, doubtless, to glory. I will come a vision of the revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body. I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one was called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body. I cannot tell. God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise, and he heard words that were unspeakable, which is not lawful to man to utter. Of such a one, I will glory. Yet of myself, I will not glory in my infirmities. I will glory in my infirmities. For I, though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, if any of you should think above me and hear that which, and think me above that which he seeth me to be or heareth of me. He says, unless, by the way, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said he went to God, he talked about it three times. And every time he went to God to talk about it, he was not paying attention to it the first two times. He was frustrated by what he heard, so he went back the second time. Still being frustrated, he went back the third time. And every time he went, God said the same thing. Have you ever felt like that? That you keep going to ask God to do something, and God ain't said nothing, ain't did nothing, because you didn't pay attention to what was actually said? Surely it's going to take more than that. I talked to you, Lord, I besought you. I am really praying earnestly. Three times I came to you and asked that this thing might depart. And then God says, oh, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That didn't sound like what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear at least something sound like, well, by this time tomorrow thou shalt, at least give me that. No, he just said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so he came back around and tried it again, and he worked himself up into a lather, into a frenzy, and he said, okay, now, God, I know you're going to hear me this time. I want this thing gone. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And then the religion that was in him, the religion that he had been trained in, that said, you can't do this. God does not talk to people to get them to the next level. God keeps you under his thumb of authority and makes you understand that you're not worthy. You are ugly maggot. And then Paul began to labor with that. And he said, no, grace is here. Grace is here. Not because of my mistakes. Grace is here because I am what I am because grace has been used. I'm not going to be an old, ugly outfit because grace is here. I see grace first. Where sin did abound, much more did grace abound. I'm looking at grace, so then my answer is going to come through this grace. It's not going to come through my suffering. It's not going to come through my sacrifice. It's going to come because grace was sent before I know I needed it. And then I heard, my grace, which is here, is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You ain't got to try to get out. I'm going to give you strength. Why am I trying to escape when God gave me the strength to having done all to stand? These are Paul's writings. Paul's the one that said that. God was teaching him this, that having done all to stand therefore. Paul, the problem is you're not dressed right, Paul. You're not thinking right. Your helmet of salvation is on crooked. Your breastplate of righteousness, it ain't connected. Grace began to speak to him. Then as he heard the conversation of heaven, because the conversations of heaven change things on the earth. You can bellyache and bawl all you want to. It's not the conversation toward heaven. It's the conversations of heaven that cause change. Did heaven say? Heaven said, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. That's what heaven said. So then I got to go back and understand that grace is sufficient. He did not say, my grace is, wait a minute, this is your grace that we're talking about, Lord. This ain't even my grace that I'm trying to come here with. This is your grace that I'm dealing with. And you said your grace is sufficient. You were full of grace and truth. So whatever you were full of, you poured it out unto me. And that grace that you poured out unto me is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. And that power of that grace is going to be made perfect. All right, let's try that then. That power of that grace has to have some conversions to take place. It has to be made perfect in weakness. Wow. It didn't say it was going to become insufficient in weakness. It was already sufficient. Now I need to take the sufficiency of that grace and allow it to be made perfect. I'm going to have to labor with this. What you said, this is what heaven said. I'm just going over what heaven said. Jesus was praying, and he said, I thank you, Father, that you always hear me. Because these people, they don't understand this. All the people around me, they think that you got to do something else. This is the end. Lazarus has died. But no. You always hear me. So now, because I have this resident power, Lazarus, come on now. It didn't even say that Jesus prayed 20 more minutes. He said, because I know you hear me. This grace, which is sufficient, the power now is going to be made perfect. And so Jesus said, since I know this, Father, I know you hear me. Lazarus, come forth. See? That's how he practiced it over and over. I mean, of course, if it had been us, we'd stand in front of all these people and we think we got, Jesus already knew. The Bible says he knew that he was going to raise them from the dead. So it was no question what was going to happen. But here I am. I'm in front of all these people and he's been dead. She just told me he was dead for 4 days and he should be stinking by now. Muscles ain't worked at all in 4 days. And I'm going to say to these muscles that have not worked, get up and come here. Wait a minute. Let's just make sure. Lazarus come forth. Lazarus had on grave clothes, and they were all about his head. So even if his muscles wanted to work, he couldn't see. But Jesus said, no. There's a grace that's alive on the inside, and it doesn't care, because this grace causes a flow of supply in a place where there is no water. So I'm talking to that God. So then I say, Lazarus, come forth. And the next thing the people see is Lazarus on the outside of the grave, and now Jesus says, so that you know it was the power of God. It was not something that was worked out in advance so that it looked like something. He said he came out bound hand and foot. And then Jesus said, now loose him and let him go. How was his way made when he couldn't even see where he's going in this cave? There was no electricity in the cave, people. There was no electricity in the cave. It was dark in the cave. Amen. But he came to the place where the command was issued. Because the conversation of heaven changes things in the earth. He said, Lazarus, come forth. See, this is grace that we're supposed to function in. See? We're supposed to be able to call those things that be not as though they were. I kept asking God to deliver me, that it might depart from me. Show me the change, Lord. Show me the change in the, thank you, my God. Show me the change in the circumstances. And every time he kept praying that thing, God says, grace is here, and this grace is sufficient, and my strength is made perfect in the weakness. So Paul said, okay, I get it. I've been ignoring grace. I've been acting like it has to be something else. I put me over the spirit of grace. I begin to frustrate the spirit of grace. Why? Because I'm trying to get it done my way. But when I understand that my grace, your grace is sufficient, and that strength is now going to be made perfect in this place of my misunderstanding. So I'm going to stop my thinking, Lord. And then he says, so now, I will most gladly, therefore, rather glory in the place of my weaknesses. Because it's not about me. The power of Christ that rests upon me, that needs to be seen through me, that's what I'm counting on now. Therefore, I will take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. But when I'm weak, Notice this, how Paul got the information then. He said, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. He did not say, when I'm weak, God shows up strong. He didn't say that. He says, because this grace, which is sufficient now, the power, the strength of God's word to me is going to be made perfect in the place where I ain't got nothing to do with it. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. That was not a give-up scripture. That was a get-out-the-way scripture. See? Grace is not here to cover my mistakes. It's the demark of my growth and submission to the will of God, the place where I get out of the way and let him have his way. Your way or God's way? Will you continue to try to get things done in and of your own strength? Or will you recognize that his grace, which is sufficient, is already present? The answer which you need has already been given. Hear the conversations of heaven and experience the victory on the earth. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we thank you for your word that you sent to heal us and deliver us from all of our fears and destructions. Thank you that you are elevating us to the place where our thinking agrees with you, our heart position agrees with you, so that we would know that the grace that has appeared will cause us to receive the strength necessary to affect change because we are now out of the way. Thank you, Father. I ask you to forgive us of continually trying to get things done our way, under our strength, under our power. We do now bow our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you the glory that's due your name, the honor that only you deserve. Thank you, Father, that now we can have great expectation because the supply of grace is you. Thank you for that, sir. We bless you and give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask and receive it as done. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, again, if you have any questions or comments, I'll give you an opportunity to do that. And I see that one way or the other that we've lost all the callers, but you can, as I say to everyone, and this is already now archived, so we can go back and visit it anytime. Just go to livedeliverance.com, and you can look at Pastor Steve and the Pie of Grace. Look for the date so that we can just grow extra in multiple levels, incrementally we can grow by this word of grace that he's delivered to us. We'll try to get some more of it into next week and understand the grace of God, flow in the grace of God. Amen. So then as we do here, we give you an opportunity to sow into this ministry. If this word has been a blessing to you, then you just simply go to livedeliverance.com, look at the donate tab, and then go ahead and sow a seed. That's the way you seal these ministries in your life, because now you are invested in it because you gave of your substance. So we do that so that we give you an opportunity to grow, and we get to get things done because there are bills that are due. And we're believing God that as you give, that it'll be given to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom, that the increase of the flow of God would be seen and evident in your life because you've connected to a ministry that our only purpose is to cause you to grow up in him and to be able to walk worthy of his name that he's given you. So until the next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. So until next Monday, remember, love you, and God loves you even more. Be blessed.